There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
Sean has become very famous. Where's Sean? He's become... Oh, is that Sean? Look at Sean! Look at him! Wow! You know, he's got a big ego. He loves it when I mention his name.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by my friends at Harry's. Also, by the way, coming up in just a second, Mayor of the town of Dauphin Island, Jeff Collier, is going to join us. Plus, we'll check in with John Sharp from AL.com. A whole lot more of your calls as well. Yeah, let me tell you about what's brand new with the folks at Harry's. What's brand new is the performance of their blades. What hasn't changed is the price. They just came out with their sharpest blades ever, and unlike some other razor companies, they're not charging you more for their product improvements. I'll say this. When they first rolled this out, I said, well, I really have never... I mean, the shave with Harry's has always been fantastic for the 7-plus years I've been shaving with them, so I don't get with the sharper blades how it's going to benefit me. Well, here's how it works. The new blades are so sharp that they did a study with guys who shave 4 times a week. The guys reported that with Harry's new blades, their 8th shave was as smooth as their first. So the way I see it is you get even more of a value out of those $2 replacement blades from Harry's. And I already loved them. Now I love them even more. And I want you to check out what I've been talking about all these years, because they got a great option for you right now to check out their brand new, even sharper blades. You can get Harry's sharpest blades ever in a big box drugstore, grocery stores near you. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. But if you like to shop online, and let me add, help support Midday Mobile, Harry's has a great offer for y'all as well. New customers will get $5 off a Harry's trial set when you use my code SEANS at Harry's.com. So that is SEANS at Harry's.com. That includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3. Plus, you get free shipping. And don't forget to use my code SEANS at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try. All right. A couple things here. First of all, I want to talk about that ACB story. Can I do that here? Talk about that. Then I'll get in. Somebody had texted about the documents there from Bob Alinsky. I want to get into that as well. Then we'll check in with Mayor Collier. Real quick here. The Girl Scout story frosts me, to use a old school term. That frosts me. Story, let's see. We'll get the Fox News version here. Says the Girl Scouts of America deleted a social media post on its official Twitter and Facebook pages early Wednesday evening that congratulated Amy Coney Barrett on her appointment to the Supreme Court. So the Girl Scouts, right? So I have a one-time Girl Scout in my house. She's not Girl Scouts anymore, but my daughter was in Girl Scouts, and you have the Girl Scouts congratulating Amy Coney Barrett. What a great example for young ladies in our country. Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. So what could have gone wrong with that? Because Girl Scouts said, congratulations, Amy Coney Barrett, on becoming the 5th woman appointed to the Supreme Court since its inception in 1789. And they had the emoji of the clapping hands. They go on to say here, the original post shared by Fox 6 Milwaukee political reporter Jason Calvey included the caption, congratulations, blah, blah. Okay, that part. The post featured an image of Barrett, her 2 Supreme Court colleagues, Associate Justices Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor, former Associate Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, and the late Associate Justice and Barrett's predecessor, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Okay? So it is celebrating women as justices. Then yes, it's 2020. The move quickly faced a swift backlash from critics and lawmakers, with Representative Ayanna Pressley, a Democrat out of Massachusetts, tweeting, "What kind of patch does one earn for uplifting a woman who is the antithesis of justice?" Lovely, end quote there. I added the lovely in. Said here, another Twitter user, a lifetime Girl Scout, criticized the post and said, "I already felt uneasy as a trans person in this organization, but now I really understand that with this message that the Girl Scouts really doesn't support me or trans LGBTQ siblings." In a statement released by the Girl Scouts, the organization said the post was quickly viewed as political and a partisan statement, which was not the original intent. Quote, "Girl Scouts of the USA is a non-political, non-partisan organization," end quote. The statement went on to say, "We are neither red nor blue, but Girl Scout green. We are here to lift up girls and women." This is disgusting. This is disgusting. The fact that the Girl Scouts took it down, I'm very disappointed with them in that. But this is disgusting. You have the Girl Scouts congratulating Amy Coney Barrett and shedding light on the women that are Supreme Court justices or have been Supreme Court justices. And you've got somebody coming in saying, well, this affects them and their feelings on their trans LGBTQ siblings. Listen, I don't want anybody discriminate. I want people to live the life that they, the best life they can, but to hell with you. To hell with you. If you are, and then that's just one person, it's not everybody in that movement, but that person, to hell with you. If you can't understand that the Girl Scouts putting out a message to celebrate women in the Supreme Court, and that message for girls and young women in this country, that look at this, watch these role models that are going to do this, and you've got a crap on that, you're sick. You're sick. It's and here's the problem. The way social media works, you can have one or two or five or 15 people come out there and scare an organization that there's going to be a boycott against them, and then they have to pull back. When the message from the Girl Scouts said, you know, I'm a fan of scouting. We're involved in scouting in my household. But I am a critic as well. And I'm going to criticize this. That I don't. The initial blame is on the people that attack the Girl Scouts. But you got to stand up. When you are in the right, and Girl Scouts, I agree with what you said in the text or the tweet you put out, that this was not political. You're not red. You're not blue. You're green. You're uplifting young women and girls. Put the tweet back up. Tell them to kiss Fanny. This is the stuff that slowly erodes and sometimes comes like a flood and very, very significantly erodes what's right in the world. And that's not Republican right. That ain't Trump. That's not Tuberville. That's not Jones. That's not Biden. That's just what's right.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 1065 and Midday Mobile. Back to the calm and measured self, although looking at the text line, there's a lot of people that enjoy what I do get fired up. The difference is I just don't get fired up about every issue, because I think that's not realistic. But that Girl Scout one is stuck in my craw for sure. All right, we continue to assess the aftermath of Hurricane Zeta. We've talked about the damage in the north part of Mobile County, Citronelle and Saraland, places in between. But one of the folks that was talking to us last night, like he does every storm, Mayor of the town of Dauphin Island, my friend Jeff Collier, joining us now. Mayor, thanks for your time.
Glad to be with you, Sean.
Walk us through, because we were talking 9-something last night in our coverage here at FM Talk 106.5, and you had, at that point, the normal, right, the overwash there on the west end, right? That was happening.
Yep.
And then you and I talked about the causeway, Lincoln to the bridge there, and you said the causeway was open. I remember looking over at Dalton saying, well, okay, I mean, the mayor knows this. I was expecting that it would have been, you know, covered by storm surge. Well, what, not long after we get off the phone, sounds like it came up fast.
Yeah, it did. I think we went on the air about 9:15 or so, and maybe talked for 8 or 10 minutes, and then it was shortly after that when, you know, I was at home and I went outside and I noticed we had about 6 to 8 inches of water, and went out a little bit later and we had probably, you know, 2, almost 3 feet of water. So within 30 minutes or so, we had just a real quick inundation of floodwaters, you know, salt water. It came in, and it hung around for probably 45 minutes, and then it obviously went back out almost as fast as it came in. So, yeah, all of that happened after we had talked, and, you know, by that time, the storm had actually already gone up north. So all this happened on the backside of the storm. It was almost like when the wind shifted out of the west. In our area, it must have pushed that water from over around Mississippi up in the Sound and just came up into the village part of the island around Allo Bay, Rodeo Site, you know, all that around the police department. Your listeners probably are certainly familiar with the Rodeo Site, the Circle K. Circle K got flooded. I mean, we had probably 3 feet of water in those areas.
Okay. Now this is imagery people can understand. So water got into the Circle K, so came across from Allo Bay, came across the road, got high enough to come across the road and go through that parking lot and get in Circle K.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And honestly, we had homes
and it's built
flooded.
Up.
You know, people might know where Town Hall is. I mean, water at Town Hall was almost knee-deep at Town Hall.
How did it get to Town Hall? Through Salt Creek? Or how did it get to Town Hall?
Well, no, it would have, well, potentially Salt Creek and Allo Bay, it would have come in both areas, but it just came in from that general, from out of the Sound side of the island. And, you know, we had water everywhere. I mean, from the bakery to the churches, all the way down. I mean, just unbelievable the amount of water we had.
That's like, I mean, Mayor, you're talking about what I consider the high parts of Dolphin Island. Other than the dunes, you're talking about interior trees, high part of the island.
Yeah. Well, we had a similar episode in Hurricane Nate. That was about, I think, 3 years ago. And Nate was a similar type storm. Came in the general area, Biloxi, Gulfport area, and we had a very similar impact. The flooding this time was probably 4 to 6 inches more than what we had in Nate. But we lately, you know, the last 10 or 15 years, we have been experiencing these floodings that come from the Sound side, which is a different spin on things. You know, we always talk about flooding on the West End and the Gulf Overwash and all that, which we had a tremendous amount of that as well. But this is something that has changed, you know, over a period of time, and I'm not sure exactly, you know, what's the cause of it.
Well, and that speed, I know it's something, it sounds like we're, you know, the beginning of hurricane season, and we'll have Dr. Bill on, and we'll be talking about all the, you know, possible dangers from hurricane, and we'll say storm surge can come quickly and unexpectedly, but this is an exact example of what that message is.
Yeah, no doubt, and I'm curious, I haven't heard yet what actual surge we ended up having. You know, I had actually a friend of mine that works with one of the environmental groups, they actually came over and placed flood measuring instruments down on the far west end. So it'd be interesting to see what that shows. But I'd be curious to know what we ended up having as an official storm surge, so I can kind of, associate that with what happened on the ground.
And this is, and we get into the next part. But you pointed out that the storm. I don't know exactly where it was at 9 o'clock, but the eye of Zeta was on inland. I mean, it wasn't sitting on Dolphin Island. It was on up in Mississippi.
Yeah, it was well up in. And, you know, you would have thought that the flooding, and of course, again, we got to take the West End out of this conversation, but the whole time the storm was coming ashore, we were getting the real strong southerly winds, and that's where you normally get a lot of your flooding, and we did. But the north side of the island, the village part of the island, that area didn't flood until the storm got up inland, probably around Jackson or Thomasville, it seemed, and that all of a sudden is when this big wash came in from the north side. So, you know, a unique thing, you know.
Yeah, and one that would, I mean, you know, spend a lot of time around this stuff, it might have caught me off guard, too. Because once I said, well, we dodged that one. We didn't get the storm surge, and then next thing you know, here it comes.
Yeah, that's right. And that's exactly kind of what I was thinking, you know, at the house. I mean, we were getting some really strong winds out of the south. And then as the wind started shifting, I started kind of feeling a little bit better and thinking, okay, this thing ought to start laying down a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you know, here come the water. And, you know, it's amazing how quickly it comes in. I mean, it's a matter of minutes. It does. And all of a sudden you go from a dry street to a street that's 2 to 3 feet under salt water. It's really gets your attention.
Let's talk about those winds. What about wind damage? How are the trees on the island?
Well, you know, we really didn't get a lot of that. I've been around the island. I haven't seen much of that. I wrote it off as that Sally probably already did up harsh. You know, it knocked down most of the trees or knocked down most of the loose limbs, so there's less canopy for Shazada to get hold of. So we didn't really get a lot of vegetative type debris this time. This storm was very different and opposite pretty much from Sally. We had a lot of structural damage and tree damage in Sally. This one is more flood, sand, and flooding debris type situations. It's just totally opposite, you know. So it, just like the West End in particular, we started going down there today, and we turned around at St. Stephen's. And anybody knows, I mean, that's not far at all.
You're not far beyond the four-way there. That's not, I mean, you're barely down past the four-way there.
That's right. That's right. And we, you know, in that area, you're looking at 4 feet of sand across the anvil just in that area. And the reason we turned around, we was in the Humvee, but the reason we turned around is because, not because of sand, but because of power poles. We had power poles across where the road should be, power lines hanging down like head high, and we just had to turn around. It wasn't safe to go down in that area, so we're going to have to wait until we got to clear the sand, get the power company here to correct the poles, and then we'll be able to do a little bit better surveillance in that area. But tremendous amount of sand on the Bienville this time around.
Wow, that's going to be long recovery there, and I know, I mean, if that's being said, then I know that the water's off on that end of the island, too. That's usually cut off pretty early.
Yeah, they shut the water off before the storm got here. The whole West End is not off, though. They only shut the water off, I think, from one of the S streets west on the Court Street side only. So not the whole island's not off down there, but a certain section is. There is no power down there, and most of the people that are down there have no vehicle, and even if they did, they couldn't use it because of the conditions. So they're pretty much isolated down there at this time, and it's going to be a while before we get Bienville cleared off. I've estimated it could take us 4 to 6 days just to get Bienville reopened. I hope I'm wrong.
Holy cow. Well, four feet of sand, just, and I mean, there's nothing to sneeze at. That's a lot for a bucket to move right there.
Yeah, you're looking at 3 to 5 feet of sand over the, probably a 3 mile stretch of Bienville.
That's
is kind of what we're looking at. I've seen pictures. People have been down there and have sent me some pictures and all, and it's just significant damage. And all that doesn't surprise me because with the south winds that we had, really just kind of did a number down there.
All right, before we end, we're going to wrap up for this one, but I know we're going to be talking a good bit going forward, advising folks, you know, on the island what to do and clean up and all that. But what about the policy right now? Now, who's coming on? Who can come on? Who's not coming on?
Yeah, well, the island's open. The causeway was open. I give a shout-out to our friends with Aldot. They got the causeway open. I called them this morning at 5 a.m., and they answered and said, Mayor, yeah, we got it open. And so that was great. They did a good job. And so the causeway's open. The island is accessible. The only place that isn't is the West End area. And so otherwise, the island is operational. We do have most businesses have reopened. Some have not. Circle K is not, obviously. You know, I certainly wouldn't discourage people from coming. Just know that if you do, you're not going to be able to get to all parts of the island. The East End Beach is still closed. Of course, West End Beach you can't get to, and things of that nature.
Mayor Collier, as always, we appreciate you bringing the stories of Dolphin Island to us, and we're going to continue talking in the recovery efforts that may stretch on into the holiday. We may be talking around Christmas. I hope not.
Well, we unfortunately could be. You know, it's a shame. We were just about, I'd say, a week away from finishing up with Sally, you know, when this happened. And now we're get ready to start all over again, it looks like. So, but we've had a lot of practice.
That's for sure.
Hopefully we're getting better at it.
There he is. Mayor Jeff Collier, as always, thank you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. And gorgeous outside now. The calm behind the storm. Keep looking into the reports of the different areas that had damage. And listen, there are stories of damage even in far southeastern Baldwin County. But the majority of the damage is away from the coast to some degree, other than Dolphin Island, which we just talked to Jeff Collier, and we heard about that, like we talked about last night, how fast that storm surge came up on Dolphin Island. Let that be a note when we're doing these things before hurricane season. And you're like, yeah, the storm surge, I get it. It comes as the storm's coming in, and then dang storm was on way inland, and all of a sudden the water comes up that high. And we were talking to Captain Charlie Gray last night as it happened, right? We had just gotten off the phone with Bear Collier. He said, the causeway was open, everything was fine. And just about an hour and a half later, talked to Captain Charlie Gray. He said it came up so fast, he got his generator that, you know, his house, like so many up on pilings, had the generator downstairs, and the water came up so fast he couldn't get his generator rescued before it flooded. And that storm was way on inland. So just keep that, put that in the old bank of things to know and things to realize could happen. And hopefully it makes you make a better decision down the road. Other areas, of course, we've been talking about Saraland today. We've been talking about Georgetown, been talking about Gulf Crest, Chunchula, damage there, and the damage in Citronelle. And last night during our coverage, so many of y'all from Citronelle were texting us and said, there's more trees down than I've seen in 35 years from a storm. This is really bad out here. Talked to Representative Shane Stringer. He talked about some of the issues they dealt with last night. And our friend, my buddy, John Sharp from AL.com, headed up to document it today, and he's on his way back. Let's get the latest from him. John, so you spent your morning in Citronelle.
Yes, sir. I was up there all morning long, kind of documenting and tweeting out pictures from what I was seeing up there as far as damage is concerned, and talking to some folks that were, starting to clean up. It's basically what you would expect after a community's been hit hard by a hurricane. Folks got the chainsaws out. Neighbors are getting together. They're clearing roads off. It was kind of par for the course for a community that's been hit by a Cat 1 or 2 hurricane, which resulted in a lot of tree damage and power line damage.
Did it remind you of things you had seen 34 days ago or whatever in Baldwin County?
Exactly, yeah. It was kind of like the Hurricane Sally of Citronelle. I mean, that's exactly what it reminded me of. It reminded me a lot of what I saw in Daphne and parts of Daphne, especially with the power lines leaning the way they were leaning in certain neighborhoods of Citronelle. Reminded me a lot of what I saw in the Lake Forest neighborhood of Daphne. And what occurred there was, about 8 to 9 days, or maybe even longer, some of those residents did not have electricity. Now, I'm not to say that that's going to happen with Citronelle. It's spread as Hurricane Sally's damage was. So it's hard to say how long those folks might be without power in Citronelle. Talking to Beth Thomas today with Alabama Power, she said 90% of the community does not have electricity. I thought it was 100%. I mean, my understanding is that the entire...
They shut the grid down, yeah.
Yeah, the police chief told me this morning that as well, that they shut the grid down. So, it's a cleanup project. It's going to take a while. I know the mayor yesterday sent out a social media post indicating that Citronelle had been destroyed. That's not the case at all. It has been beat up. It's badly damaged, but... I didn't see what you would classify as widespread destruction.
Although you did have, one of your many pictures from up there did shock my heart because you worried me. You put the sign for Bertils up there. Bertils in Citronelle, one of my what's up, folks in Citronelle. You know, I stop at Bertils about every other time I come through town, and I saw that sign, and I was like, oh gosh, what does that mean for the building? You had me scared, John.
Yeah, no, I did not see any structures wiped out from this hurricane in Citronelle. Now, what I did see were trees on top of some houses. I mean, again, a lot of what we saw during Sally, a lot of trees uprooted, knocked over, roof damage. But I did not see any, especially along the business district area, U.S. 45. There isn't all that. I mean, it's not, it wasn't what I would classify as devastation at all.
I wondered about the power thing and the grid being shut off. In a conversation I was having earlier with Representative Stringer, they said that was to protect, right, the first responders, public safety people going in and out, that there were that many lines down and in the dark, how dangerous that was.
Yeah, you're correct. My conversations with the police chief, he had indicated that they were on a rescue call. There was a couple that their house had, or they'd been injured because a tree had landed on their roof, and apparently the roof collapsed, and it hurt, or one of the residents inside the house had suffered a head injury, and it sounds like a harrowing situation as far as the rescue call goes. You got power lines out. I talked to a lady today who was out cleaning up. She was out from a street, and she'd indicated that last night it was like the 4th of July going on in their community. You had a lot of popping noises, transformers going off, blue lights, that sort of thing with this particular storm.
Just joining us, talking to John Sharp with AL.com and his trip through North Mobile County today. You know, that story there, Citronelle, is obviously you're looking at the metro there or the town of Citronelle, but you're looking outside there too. I think we haven't even started to break the surface of the damage stories, because when you go west and south or west and north of Citronelle, there's a whole bunch of folks that live there too, out towards the Mississippi line, and it's got to probably be worse.
Yeah, I traveled a little bit out towards that direction, a very rural area, of course. But, again, a lot of roads are blocked by very large trees. And so that's what you're seeing today, is a lot of folks out there clearing some of that off and beginning the cleanup process. It's kind of what we're used to when these storms come through. And, I did see one house out in the rural part of Citronelle, which there was a large group of folks that were trying to get a large tree off of their roof. It looked like a sad situation. I hope those folks are able to do it. It was a huge tree, and they were working hard to try and remove it. And at least I guess one positive of it all is we're going to have some fantastic weather for cleanup.
That's true. Sad that dig deep for that silver lining to the gray cloud. So yeah, it will be nice for that. I do worry, in the aftermath of these storms, we often see more injuries than we do during the storms. And I'm guilty of it. Got to get that limb down, got to get that thing picked up. Over the last decade or so, I've slowed down on that some. But that's a worry, too, with so many trees down and people, they want to be able to use their driveway. They want to get something off their roof. They want to get a tarp on there. They want to do these things, and people get hurt. So that's for sure.
Yeah, and it just, folks are working hard today. I mean, I was at the Ace Hardware, has the longest line running out the door today in Citronelle. And
it's a great store up there.
Pardon?
That's a great store if you get some time to go in there. That's a great, great hardware store.
Right, and they're very busy today. It looked like they were doing their best to keep folks socially distant, but there was a line out there. I talked to the one resident. He had indicated that he was there to purchase a chainsaw. He had left his chainsaw at his hunting camp in Butler.
Hey,
nice guy. He had a lot of work ahead of him today, and he was going to go help his neighbors too. And there's a lot of good folks up there. They got their hands full, but they'll recover.
I'll tell you what, that's the other part of this story. If you look at that track of that storm, as you start going up, I talked to folks as far away as Montgomery today, said they had a lot of trees down up there. So, I mean, you look at the swath of this, and heck, that storm still had, 40-mile-per-hour winds or something when it got into Georgia. So,
well, yeah, Beth Thomas with Alabama Power indicates we had somewhere around 490,000 customers still without power as of 10 a.m. this morning.
Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's widespread.
John, people want to reach out to you online. Of course, they can go to AL.com or go to Twitter?
Yeah, at JohnSharp99.
All right, just on some levity or some fun in our conversation, have you made your picks for this weekend?
I have not. Thanks for reminding me.
I shouldn't have reminded you. See, there, I just shot myself in the foot. I should not have reminded you. Then you would have had a blanked weekend on our college pick'em series. But Dalton's dominating all of us, so we're all just playing for second.
Well, it sounds like he's just run away with it, and I've had kind of a miserable year. But and last week was of no help. So we'll try and start digging out of that rubble.
Rebuilding year for, or is a rebuilding week.
That's
for,
right,
for your college pickup.
Rebuilding
John,
week,
John. As always, man, I appreciate our conversations and the work you're doing, and I'll check back with you real soon.
All right, Sean.
All right, there he is, John Sharp with AL.com. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, Dalton, did you hear what I was talking to John Sharp when we finished the segment? He said he's getting ready this afternoon. He's, because he's been working since before light, getting ready to put up put his Halloween decorations back up. procrastination has paid off for me. Right? Because now I don't have to put them back up. Now, I told my son the other day, he was asking, I said, well, I was talking to Dr. Bill, and he says we got a pretty good wind coming and a hurricane coming, so we're just not going to put them up right now. I said, that's why I hadn't put them up yet. Now, that might not exactly been the letter of the truth, but, you know, the 10-year-old, I said, yeah, Dad's just playing this out. It's my plan, son, is coming together. We'll put them up, so I'm going to be doing the same thing. But, John, just for the first time, not twice. So, how you play the game, man. For once, the procrastination on decorations has paid off. The spooky ghosts people had hanging in the trees are in other people's yards right now. You know, I saw that. I saw in amongst all the flotsam and jetsam, all the debris that's out there in yards, I did see some relocated spooky ghost, you know, whatever they do, you put the cloth with the stuffing in the top to make the ghost. They got moved off those trees. Kay, you're right. Kay, I will say this, but we have this long-running joke around here that we'll say these things, but this is, you need to tell friends or family. Our listeners are pretty good on this. Kay says, remind people that it's four-way stop when the lights are out. Too many people just blowing through them. Yes, Kay, how about this? Here's our warning. Let me do this. Let me put an FM Talk 106.5 spin on that warning, because I know this audience, and pretty much by and large, everybody I've ever met from this audience knows what to do there. I'll change it. Hey, FM Talk 106.5 listeners, realize that there's people out there that they just go. They just, right pedal, make car go. Make it go fast. Those people are out riding around, and if they don't have the red light or the green light, which sometimes doesn't affect their decisions either, but they're not going to stop. So, you know, this, we all just need to assume every one of them is going to blow through it and make sure that that car comes to a complete stop. Don't assume they're going to stop. How about that? That's my tweak on that message about four-way stops when the lights are out. Just assume they're all going to be, just assume they're all going to make the bad direction, bad decision here. So Lisa Askin said they had their backsides kicked in Saraland. Yeah, that's for sure. We had Mayor Rubenstein on in the first hour, Lisa. He said, and she said, what's the power situation for Saraland? I think he said y'all still 30% of the folks in Saraland without power, but he said they were in constant contact with Alabama Power. They're working on it and doing it, but I think still 30% of Saraland did not have power. Dan asking about the surge that Mayor Collier said came from the sound side. How did it come from the sound side? Okay. Because, Dan, I get it, because you're saying, how's a south wind going to bring the water in from a body of water that's to the north? I think what happens, it's just the dunes on the front. So Dolphin Island, generally, you get down the west end, it's a different story. But generally, the south side of the island is where you aggregate sand, right? And you know that all barrier islands, if let to their own druthers, as an island has its own druthers, but islands are moving from east to west and north, right? So barrier islands attract, and this happens over tens of thousands of years, so it's not like something you can go out there, you know, open up a six-pack and watch. But they're moving from east to west. The sand is eroding from the east end, aggregating on the west end, and also tracking to the north. And you saw a lot of this in Katrina. It really moved the island quickly to the north. But so that's the motion of these islands. But the higher elevation, everything's relative, the higher elevation is usually on the south side in dune formations. So you get a south wind, it pushes water up, and it's getting higher and higher there, with the exception of the west end where it comes right across. But it then pushes that elevation of water on the backside, and that's what lets it, it comes up above the ground level and lets it come in. So even though the winds are coming out of the south, it's stacking water, raising it, and the backside of an island usually is going to be lower than the front side because of the dunes, and that lets that water rush in. So that's kind of the story. Let's see here. Yeah, trees. Yeah, we got. I'm sure. I'm not worried. I think there'll be a full and robust discussion on Sunday's Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast with Bill Finch about the trees. We've been having it all season long, and you know, it's going to be one of these. Our buddy Ben had posted up some pictures, getting a lot of attention over on Twitter. Some trees that were leaned over by Sally one way when the wind was coming, you know, one way, and then stood back up, these fair pine trees, by the winds from Zeta. It's like they went from leaning over to back straight from those winds. Now, I'm sure we hear from Bill Finch and Chris Francis and all that those trees are probably going to have to come down because I'm sure their roots are messed up. But it's a heck of a picture getting a lot of attention over on Twitter. I think I retweeted it. So if you go to @FMTalk1065 on Twitter, you'll see them. And I think maybe, actually, it's up on our Facebook page, too. Okay, so go to facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Yep, it's trees that were leaned quite a bit over by Sally, that Zeta stood them back up straight. It's something to see. Oh, good. People want to talk about Bertil's with me? It's one of my favorite places to get a burger. My favorite place in Citronelle to get a burger, for sure. Let's see here. Power. We're going to monitor the power. There's still people out. I mean, I'm one of them, unless something's changed in my house. I'm in the city of Mobile, out by South Alabama. Don't have power right now. Folks close to me do, but I don't have power. So there's still, Dalton, we have the latest. I mean, there's still quite a few folks, even in mid to southern Mobile County, that don't have it. And of course, Dauphin Island, you heard the mayor talking about the actual poles are down from about the four-way there at St. Stephen's going west on the island. It's going to be a long time, and 4 feet of sand stacked in the road down there. It's going to be a heck of a cleanup. Right. We'll keep you in the loop on cleanup, on recovery, how you can help out others that need help, just like we did after Sally and every storm before. We continue to do it after Zeta as well. Paul Feinbaum shows on the way next. Reminder two, more discussion of the interior and the damage there on tomorrow's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. All right, y'all be good. Listen to Feinbaum. He got some football to talk about. Get our minds off things.